Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bow your heads for prayer with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray for your rich blessing to be upon us, that you would grant us your Holy Spirit and open our hearts to the power of your word and sacrament, that your Spirit may be at work in our hearts to strengthen within us the gift of faith, that we who have gathered as your people may live in that faith, sharing with others the great joy we have in knowing Jesus as our Savior, as the one true source of true freedom, that we may live in you and in your love. Help us to share that love and grace for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Martin Luther, in his treatise called The Bondage of the Will, shares the insight that human persons, you and I, are made to serve. Indeed, Luther depicted the human will as a horse whose choices are limited as to who its rider will be. Will the rider of that horse, that human will, be God? Or will it be the devil? There are no other real choices. And it raises the question for each of us this day, who is the rider of our human will? Who directs and guides us? One writer, speaking about these verses, says, and I quote, "The notion of a radically independent individual who can do as he or she pleases without reference to any other authority, an image regularly celebrated in modern post-Enlightenment culture, is in fact a man of straw. This free person is a myth who never existed and who never will. We are radically incurable and eternally dependent beings who are made to serve. Our freedom is not the freedom to do as we want, but the freedom from being controlled by our fallen hearts to do as God wants. True freedom is not the liberty to do anything we please, but the liberty to do what we ought, and it is genuine liberty because doing what we ought now pleases us." Thus far. I find it interesting, especially that phrase, genuine liberty, gives us the freedom to do what we ought, and what we ought now pleases us. There's a scene in the movie Martin Luther, Heretic, which I've shared with the confirmation class here, and perhaps at some point we'll share. But in that particular scene, Luther has gotten this great insight of where real freedom comes from. And he's sharing with his class at the university, and one of the youth picks up on this concept of freedom. And he says, "Well, what that means is that I'm free to do whatever I want." And Luther says, "Yes." And he says, "Well, that means that I can go out, and I can sleep with a whore, and I can do all the things because I'm free to do that." And Luther says, "Yes." And so the student tries to push this a little bit further. And Luther says, "Yes, you can do what you want. You can do what pleases you. But the question now is, in the freedom that God has given you, what is it that pleases you? You're a child of God. You've been made His own. You've been washed clean in the waters of holy baptism. You are nurtured and sustained by God's holy word. What pleases you?" And that's really what we're talking about today. What is it that should please us? In a week and a half, we go to the polls. We celebrate the freedoms we have as a nation. We declare that we have liberty, that we have freedom, that we have the right to choose our leaders, and we do. Yet how we define that freedom is important. Is it freedom from responsibility, freedom to do as we please, Freedom to get in trouble? Ask anyone who is burdened with an addiction. They won't tell you that that is freedom in any way. Ask anyone who is burdened by a family that's falling apart because everyone is celebrating their freedoms and doing their own thing, and as the family deteriorates, they won't tell you that that's freedom. It's bondage. Bondage to sin. Bondage to the results of sin in our lives. Bondage to what we know is wrong and yet can't seem to help ourselves in getting away from it. Bondage that continues to bear down upon us. Luther's concept of the bondage of the will comes through loud and clear. When we look at the culture around us, who is it that is riding our will? Who is it that we turn to for guidance? Who is it that we serve? Is it God? Or is it the devil? And so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To those who believed in him, Jesus gives direction. And that direction is to turn to his word, to listen to it, to abide in it. That is to remain ensconced and surrounded by that word. This abiding is not some superficial, "Oh, I got confirmed when I was a kid. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I can go out and do my own thing now. I can do whatever I please because God's grace is so great. He'll forgive me no matter what I do," right? Except, what does that really say about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross? Is that really what we want? Is that really what true freedom is all about? Listen to the challenge of Jesus to those who followed him. "If you abide in my word," that's it. Abide in the word. Be committed to the word. Be involved in the study of God's word. Be involved in worshiping and receiving his power. Because then you will come to know what it means to be a disciple. "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You are my followers. You are the ones who are learning from me. You are the ones who seek my guidance." And as you abide in his word, as you follow him as his disciples, you will come to know the truth. The truth. Remember Jesus' answer to Pilate when he said, "What is truth?" "I am the truth." Jesus is the truth. What is truth? Jesus may not have said it so many words because Pilate was scoffing, but the very word of truth was standing before him. And the truth will set you free. But Jesus was going to the cross. He wasn't free. How can you call that freedom? He was going to die. The most criminal, horrible death mankind has ever conceived of. Is that freedom? But in his death, he overcame the bondage of our sin. He overcame the burden that we carry. And as he says, "The truth will set you free," and we now know him. It's interesting, this is in the present tense. Jesus isn't talking about something that's going to happen way off in the future or something took place way in the past. It's happening now as we come to know Jesus. To know him, to trust in him, to believe in him, to live for him. We are his disciples. And if you abide in my word, this is an ongoing challenge. It means we continue to be in that Word, continue to be nourished by God's Word and the sacraments of baptism and of Holy Communion where the Holy Spirit is at work, continuing to live our faith as a people of God and being nourished by Him, continue to grow stronger in our understanding of the truth and of what it is that Jesus Christ has done for us. And among those who are in the group to which Jesus speaks, there are those who almost immediately reject God's Word. In vain they boast of who they are. We are the children of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. Who are they kidding? Have they just completely forgotten about the Babylonian captivity? Or perhaps they have forgotten about the fact that they were under Roman rule at that very moment. But being children of Abraham, they decided they didn't need to have Jesus guiding them to true freedom. They would be on their own. They could do their own thing. And when I hear that, I think of our culture today, where freedom seems to be freedom to do what I want, when I want, as long as I don't hurt you. But that leads us right back to the enslavement of sin and of the bondage and of the punishment. It leads us right back to sin and death. A couple of weeks ago, I was forwarded a very interesting video clip. It opened with something to the effect of, opening screen, "We must stop the abuse of parents." Kind of an eye-catching theme, isn't it? All you parents, listen up. You're abusive. We must stop that. We must change our culture. And the following pictures were that of 2, 3, 4-year-old kids who don't like their vegetables, who were forced to sit at the table until they ate. And showing kids trying to sneak the vegetables down to their pets, or hiding them, or pushing them under the plate, or doing whatever it is so that they could avoid having to eat their vegetables. Parents, how abusive can you be? Why do you do that? Because you know it's healthy. And so you guide your children, even though they may not always appreciate it. You guide your children to what is best. And when we seek to abide in God's Word, He guides us in that Word to the freedom that can only be found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the end result is that we do come to know true freedom. We are freed from the bondage of sin, freed from its punishments, for Jesus has paid for those. Free to be the people of God. It's interesting that even the early philosophers understood the bondage of sin. Seneca proclaims that there is no bondage that is harder than that of the passions, and Plato proclaims liberty is the name of virtue and bondage is the name of vice. Yet in our culture today, where anything and everything seems to be allowed, except maybe living the Christian faith, we are accused of being slaves to ethics and to morality and the rules that God imposes. How can we impose those upon others? But I would be willing to stake my life on it that when King David wrote in the Psalms of his desire to be a part of the family of God, it was not because someone forced him to do so, but because he was free to worship. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Or in that verse so well known from Psalm 23, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, that's real freedom. To know we have a loving God to whom we can turn in times of need. If the sun sets you free, you will be free indeed. This freedom, this is a personal gift from Jesus. It is a gift, not a pedigree, not some, oh, I'm a child of Abraham, therefore. You're not saved because you happen to be members of Mount Calvary. You're not saved because you happen to be members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You're saved because Jesus Christ has taken your sins away and made you His own. And this message of His Word is not something temporary that will come and go. It's His eternal promise for you and for me. And this gift, this freedom, is expressed in how we live, in obedience to our God, knowing that we want to seek the will of God, to know that will of God, to live in abidance to it, knowing what it cost our God to give us that freedom from sin and bondage, the freedom to be God's children today, the greatest gift anyone has ever given you or me. The greatest gift is found at the cross, where Jesus, as He dies, holds out His arms, fastened to the crossbeam, and prays for you, and prays for me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And dying for you, and dying for me, we have received true freedom in Christ. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. And may the peace of God, that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.